Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6:14. Hi, I'm Rob West. That warning from the Apostle Paul is usually interpreted to mean that you shouldn't marry outside the faith. But does it apply to other relationships just as much? Ron Blue joins us today with his practical and spiritual insights about partnerships. And we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we can always say class is in session when Ron Blue joins us. Ron's the co-founder of Kingdom Advisors, a much in-demand author and speaker and a personal mentor of mine. Ron, great to have you back.
It's always a pleasure, Rob. Good to be with you.
Rod, let's dive into this passage. Paul wasn't just talking about marriage in that particular passage, was he?
No, talking about partnerships. And there are so many kinds of partnerships. You see it most likely in the professions that are typically organized as partnerships. But you can have businesses also that have multiple partners and owners. So partnerships can last a long time. I spoke to the CPA firm that I founded not long ago, and they've been a partnership for 50 years.
Wow.
And still operating as a partnership. So it applies to business partnerships and other types of partnerships also.
Yeah, that's helpful. Ron, what I've appreciated so much about your teaching, among other things, is that you've taught us principles that are transferable. What principles guided you in your experience with partnerships?
Well, I got this question a lot, Rob, over the years, and probably the most significant illustration is, let's say you have two OBGYNs who want to go into partnership, one a believer and one not, one who believes in abortion and one not. And I was asked many times about that type of relationship. And I said, there's a couple of things to think about from a principal standpoint. And the first thing is, what will it do to your testimony to be in partnership with somebody that you're unequally yoked with? And only you and God can answer that. But that's a really big question, because you could lose your testimony by the partnership that you're in. And the second thing is that partnerships a lot of times go sour. It's like marriages. 50% of them end up in divorce. Well, I don't know what the percentage is, but a lot of partnerships end up dissipating. And so I always advise, have your exit strategy in place before you form a partnership, so that either one can get out of the relationship in an equitable basis and maintain their testimony if they're the believer that's leaving that that partnership. The other thing that it does, if you have an exit strategy, you avoid a lot of the conflict that can come from the separation of any partnership. It's like a marriage, but it's the same thing in a business.
Yes.
And I always also said, thirdly, that remember that the business is really the most critical thing that you want to preserve, assuming that you've got a business that has a testimony already. You want the testimony to live beyond the relationship. This financial planning firm that I had started, that was a partnership, and I left after 23 years. But nobody left with me because they were committed to the mission.
Yes.
And that's what you really want to see happen. And you also want to see that the exit strategy makes sense economically to everybody, so that you don't find yourself in conflict over the terms of the exit strategy. So those are just three principles that I used to talk about with people when I've been asked those questions.
Ron, that is so helpful. Don't let it interfere with your testimony. Have an exit strategy all parties agree to, which is what makes it different from a marriage. And the business itself is more critical than the founders and the owners. Ron, great to have you with us today.
Oh, good to be with you, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That's Ron Blue, author and teacher, talking about partnerships. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
Our teens are becoming soul winners with the help of the Truth for Youth Bible.
Hi, I teach in a high school, and I just want to say thank you for the Truth for Youth Bibles. A youth group in our area was passing them out, and one young lady said she wanted to give a Bible to a particular person that she knew would not receive it. Not only did that person receive it, they were thankful for it and promised to read it. It was by the end of that day that person committed their life to Christ.
Over the last 20 years, more than a million Truth for Youth Bibles have been given to youth all over America. And this year, we want to add at least 60,000 to that total. It's available in English and Spanish, and every student between the ages of 13 and 18 can get one free if they promise to give it to a friend at school. Call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central, or visit tfy.org anytime.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hey, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Just a moment, we'll begin taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. Perhaps there's that question you've been wrestling with in your financial life. We'd love to unpack it with you, help you think about it in light of biblical wisdom, because we know that God's Word has a lot to say on this topic. 2,300 verses on money and possessions, and it really starts with this idea of lordship, that we are to surrender everything that we have to the Lord, recognizing He owns it all. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And then quickly following on the heels of the lordship idea is stewardship. We're to use God's resources to fulfill His purposes, and we have a high calling as managers of the money that God has entrusted to us by the King of Kings. And that's a high calling. Genesis 2:15, remember, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and care for it. So we're to take God's creation and order it and improve it to be productive and to steward all that He has entrusted to us. And as a part of that, we're to give it away. Generosity is sharing that releases the world's grip on us. It removes the grip that money can have on us and have specifically on our hearts. And when we give, we calibrate our hearts to the Father. So if we understand those big ideas all found in Scripture, that we're to transfer ownership to God and recognize His lordship, and then we're to be good stewards and try to create financial margin to fulfill God's purposes, and then we're to grow in the grace of giving and sharing, seeing money as a tool, well, we've now put ourselves in a position to view money through the lens of Scripture, which is really how we operate from a biblical worldview. Well, we want to help you do that in light of the very practical decisions and choices you're making each day. And so let's do that now. We're going to begin in Lancaster, PA, and welcome Jane to the broadcast. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. My question today has to do with tithing. I have a long-term type investment comprised of stocks and bonds. And sometimes in a year, they may show a slight increase over the principal, but on other years, there's a loss in the principal. Now, I really didn't count on giving a tithe until I totally cash out that holding, but now I am thinking about cashing out a portion of it because I have some home repairs coming up. And so, of course, my question is, how do I determine my tithe when I'm not cashing out the whole thing?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, Jane, is this in a taxable account or is it in a retirement account, pre-tax?
No, it's a taxable account.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so whenever you liquidate a position, whether it's a portion of a holding or the entire holding, you will generate a long-term or a short-term capital gain or capital loss. And
okay,
that capital gain or loss for tax purposes is essentially your increase or your
right
decrease in the case of a loss. And so
right,
what you would be able to do is say over a period of time, and it might be most effective to do this at tax time and look at the prior 12 months, is you'd take all of the realized gains and losses for the year, those positions that you sold, not the gains where you held on to the stock because that might, you know, turn the corner and head back down, but those positions where you've sold, and you'd total up all the gains, you'd total up all the losses, you'd subtract them from one another. And for that period of time, in my example, 12 months, and you could do this on a shorter period if you wanted to, you would come up with the net gain or loss for that period. And then you'd take a tenth of that and make that your tithe. And so it really comes down to what is my increase over a period of time, and it can only be based on realized increases because, again, if it's unrealized, that means you still hold the investment and you don't know whether or not you will ultimately have a gain or a loss until it's sold. But does that make sense to you?
Well, it does. So let me just see if I'm totally understanding what you're
sure
saying. So you're saying, for example, if I take out the amount of money I need to take out in a year, then at the end of the year, I'll know what the gain or loss might be and go from there?
You would need to determine that for tax purposes. It's really not as much, Jane, about how much you took out. Because remember, you know, you might put in $100,000 and you could take $20,000 out. Well, you don't have an increase at that point. If the value is what's remaining in the account is $80,000, you've just taken money and moved it around. So really the increase comes down to you making an investment in the case of stocks and that investment growing and then you selling it and realizing a profit or a gain. And so what you would have to do is not look at the total amount of withdrawals for that period of time. You would have to look at each individual holding that you sold and say, what was my cost basis? What did I buy it for? And then you would factor in what you sold it for. So you take your selling price of each individual investment minus your purchase price. And then you determine on the number of shares that I sold, did I have a gain or a loss? And if you had multiple investments that you sold during the year, some of them you may have sold at a profit, others you may have sold at a loss. And so you'd have to determine across all of the sales for the years, not the withdrawals, but the sales, you know, did I have a net profit or a loss? And then that would be the amount that would help you determine what your tithe would be.
okay, it just needs a little bit of work on my end.
It does, and it's work you're going to have to do anyway for tax purposes, Jane, because anytime you sell an investment at a profit, the IRS is going to want, assuming you are in the right tax bracket where there is a capital gain, they're going to want to know what was the cost basis and what'd you sell it for, and the difference is either a gain or a loss, and it may or may not be taxable. So you're going to need to go through that exercise to determine for each of those sales, did I sell it at a profit or a loss? And then you can total them all up for the year and determine whether you actually came out ahead. And if you did, not the amount you took out, but the gain is what would be used to determine the tithe.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I think I'm understanding what you're saying.
All right.
Well, Thank you very much.
You are so welcome, and I appreciate you mentioning the late Larry Burkett. Lancaster has always been a wonderful market, going all the way back to Money Matters when Larry was on the air, just so many folks. And Larry would visit that part of the country often and speak in churches, and he was always just so fond of that part of the world. Now, do I see here that you have a second question?
Well, I did, if you have time for it.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
And what it has to do with picking an online bank. I've been very interested in an online savings type bank, and I've explored it as you've said, Bankrate.com. But I guess what I'm wondering is how do I know what the rating of that particular bank is?
Yeah.
Because I have noticed that some of the ones that really pay the top rates have only been around less than a year.
Yeah, very good. Well, here's what I would say. As long as they have at least a 4.5-star rating from Bankrate, and that's an independent review, you'll see that for everyone listed at Bankrate.com, 4.5 to 5 stars, then I would feel very comfortable. And ultimately, what you're looking for is that FDIC insurance. But with FDIC insurance and a 4.5 or 5-star rating, you should be in good shape. Thanks, Jane. We'll be right back.
I think it's safe to say most people have seen the I Want You, Uncle Sam poster. It inspired many to join the war effort in World War I. More than 100 years later, AFA Action needs your help to fight a war that rages in our culture. To answer the call to action, please sign up for Action Alerts today, and if you would, give to AFA Action so we can stay on the front lines. You'll get the Christian Handbook for Civic Engagement as our thanks. Visit AFAAction.net today.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Over the last 20 years, more than 1 million Truth for Youth Bibles have been given to youth all over America. And this year, we want to add at least 60,000 to that total. It's available in English and Spanish, and every student between the ages of 13 and 18 can get one free if they promise to give it to a friend at school. Call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central, or visit tfy.org anytime.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
We're so glad you're along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Our goal, our hope and prayer for you is that you would see God as your ultimate treasure as we explore God's word as it relates to money decisions. Let's head right back to the phones. We'll go to Bradley, Florida. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm a disabled veteran. And I get disability from the VA, and I get disability from Social Security. But my Social Security will become a retirement in 2 years. And I don't know if the VA will also become a retirement. But will I pay taxes on both when I turn 67 in 2 years? Or will I not pay taxes on the VA?
Yeah. Your VA disability payments are not taxable and would not be included in your reported gross income. Your Social Security benefits may be taxable. If they're less than $25,000, you would owe nothing. Between $25,000 and $32,000, up to 50%. And so now I would check, do you normally use a CPA or do you do your taxes yourself?
My daughter does them for me. She has a TurboTax.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. I mean, so that should pick it up, but, the tax exempt portion of the VA benefits is included in the combined income formula used to determine the taxable portion of Social Security benefits. So that could increase your tax liability because depending upon what your combined income is, determines what percent of your Social Security is taxed. And so it could be up to 50%, could be up to 85%. So although your VA disability benefits are never taxable, the combined income is what drives how much tax you pay and on what portion of the Social Security. So that's where, you know, you just want to be aware of that. And she'll need to factor that in as she's completing her taxes. And if you need, you know, a second opinion, you could reach out to a CPA. But bottom line is your VA benefits will not be taxable, but your Social Security may be. And it's really going to come down to your total combined income.
Can I give you my total income?
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to get into the kind of the numbers of it per se, but I would just say, you know, at the end of the day, just recognize that the total of that combined income will ultimately determine, you know, how much you pay. And you could find that those schedules pretty quickly, depending upon which tax year we're talking about and so forth. So you could find all that information online. But we appreciate you calling today, John, and thank you for your service to our country, sir. We're very, very grateful. Let's head along to Indiana and welcome another John to the broadcast. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. And I am also retired military myself.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for your service as well. Go ahead.
So the big question, my wife passed away in March, and the insurance, like, I never dealt with this before. Obviously, is the insurance money at the end of the year taxable?
You're talking about the death benefit?
Yeah.
No. Life insurance, death benefit is generally not taxable. No. And I'm so sorry to hear about her passing, but that is the case.
Okay. So in doing that, I've been able to pay off the house. I pay off the car loan we had. Funeral expenses are taken care of. So the biggest thing I have now are credit cards and a home equity loan we had because the house is 20 years old and we were starting to have to make a whole bunch of repairs.
Yeah.
So do I take some of that money and try to pay off as much of that debt or invest it in, say, like CDs or money market fund to get a little bit of extra income to help pay it off more on a monthly basis.
Yeah, it's a good question, John. So what did you receive in the form of the life insurance proceeds?
Total is $125,000. Right now I'm looking at $80,000, still possible.
All right, $80,000. And give me just kind of a rundown of the debts that you have.
The home equity is at a little over $33,000. And the three cards, one is $5,800, $8,700, and one is $18,000.
Okay. All right.
And I don't get to start doing the RMD. I just turned 72, so I don't know when next year the RMD would come into effect. And I'm also working part-time, so crazy.
Yeah, you got a lot going on. So we've got $32,000 on the home equity. Cards all in are about $32,500. What other assets do you have, both savings and retirement assets?
Savings are just over five. I have one IRA just under 27, and another one just over 13,000. But like I said, I haven't started taking the RMDs off of that yet. So,
okay, so about 40,000 in retirement assets.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and in savings, you have 5,000 liquid.
Yep.
Okay. And what are your sources of income now? You said you're still working. Is that right?
Yeah. My military retirement is just under $3,000 a month, and Social Security is just under $15,000. And I just had that change to be able to taking out taxes on that. So it's not so much of a hit at the end of the year.
So you got about $4,500 a month coming in on that, less the taxes?
Mm-hmm.
So military and Social Security.
Yeah. Yeah, paying off the house and the car freed up $1,100 a month.
Yeah, okay.
On the budget.
Very good. And how much are you making on the amount that you're making from your job?
It varies. Since it's part-time, it's sometimes paychecks have been like $400. Sometimes they've been almost twice that. Just depends on the number of hours in a two-week period.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so somewhere between $400 and $800 a month, or every 2 weeks. And how much do you typically have left over at the end of the month? You know, are you able to save all or, you know, most of the work pay?
I've just recently, since all the accounts have finally cleared, I've just now been able to start looking at the numbers to see how much...
Gotcha. All right, stay right there. I'll give you my thoughts on after this break. We'll be right back. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. One. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Over the last 20 years, more than 1 million Truth for Youth Bibles have been given to youth all over America. And this year, we want to add at least 60,000 to that total. It's available in English and Spanish, and every student between the ages of 13 and 18 can get one free if they promise to give it to a friend at school. Call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890, between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central, or visit tfy.org anytime.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. Before the break, we were talking to John in Indiana, and John's wife passed away recently. He received some life insurance proceeds that he used to take care of a few items, but he's got a couple of remaining debts, namely a home equity line of credit at about $33,000, and then three credit cards totaling roughly another $33,000. And so altogether, he's got debt of about $65,000. He's wondering, with the $80,000 he has remaining from the life insurance proceeds, should he go ahead and pay off that debt or a portion of it? And I think a couple of thoughts here, John. I would say, you know, given your military retirement plus Social Security, you're bringing in about $4,500 a month less some taxes, and then you're making another roughly $1,000 to $2,000 a month through some part-time work. I would want you to hang on to as close to 6 months' expenses as possible, but I think you can do that and pay off both of these debts, because if you eliminated the home equity line of credit and all the credit cards, that would still leave you about, I'm guessing about $20,000 liquid, because you've already got $5,000. You'd still have $15,000 remaining from the life insurance proceeds. So that's $20,000 that you would have in savings. But now your monthly expenses have gone down because you've eliminated the home equity line of credit and all the minimum payments on the credit cards. And so I'm guessing that your expenses might be somewhere around $3,500 a month, which would put us very close to you having 6 months worth of expenses in the bank. And you're not going to get a guaranteed 7%, which is probably what that home equity line of credit's at, or more, the interest rate that you're paying on that. When you pay it off, you get a guaranteed return equal to that. You're certainly not going to get a guaranteed return in the market equal to what you're paying on those credit cards, which is probably, you know, somewhere between 15 and 22%. So I think paying those off is going to save you a lot in interest and reduce your overall lifestyle expenses, still get you close to 6 months in the bank with that $20,000 that you'd put in high yield savings, not investing it, very liquid. And then the goal would be to take every penny you have left over from your military and Social Security and part-time work every month and put that away to continue building up that savings account. And I think you'd be in pretty good shape at that point. But how does that sound?
No, I was just trying to figure out whether I know the interest on the accounts, except for like the home equity is like 8.5, but depending on what the prime is doing.
Right.
So I know that any kind of return on a CD or anything like that is definitely less than the double digit interest on the cards.
Right.
So.
Right. Yep. So that's the direction I would go. That's my best advice. Pay them off. Try to save as much as you can, and still have, even the day you pay it off, you're still going to have 5 to 6 months worth of expenses in savings. So I think you'll be in good shape. Thanks for your call, sir. And again, thank you for your service to our nation. Let's go to Miami. Hi, AB. How can I help?
Hello. Hi, good afternoon, Rob. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Rob, I have a question. I'm looking forward to start a business. And I'm kind of having the mind whether to open it as an LLC or an S corp. It's a new, I mean, it's kind of a small business.
Yeah, yeah. S corps and LLCs differ in terms of taxation. S corps are pass-through entities, which means the business itself doesn't pay income, federal income tax. Instead, the individual shareholders report the income and deductions and credits. An LLC is also a pass-through by default. However, you can choose how they're taxed, the members of the LLC, and can instead elect to be taxed as a corporation if it's more advantageous to the members. So you have a little bit more flexibility there. An S-Corp offers limited liability protection to owners and shareholders, and it has some stricter ownership eligibility than LLC. So you can't have more than 100 shareholders, and they have to be individuals, usually U.S. citizens. And, you know, I would say that forming an LLC does establish your business as a separate legal entity from yourself as the owner. So you are not responsible for the debts and liabilities of the business, which is one of the main benefits. So I would say generally in your case, the LLC is that business structure that's going to combine the limited liability protection of a corporation with the flexibility and simplicity of the sole proprietorship or partnership, primarily from a tax standpoint. So I would say for most people, the LLC is the way to go. But I think, you know, it's never a bad idea to check with a CPA and an attorney, just because you're going to need them anyway, a CPA to help you get your books set up and make sure you keep good separation between your personal finances and the business. For your deductibility purposes, you're going to want to be able to show what was clearly a business expense versus a personal expense to the IRS. And then the attorney to get your articles of incorporation filed, help you set up your books, make sure you've got a good rhythm in terms of keeping the business, you know, compliant with annual filings and so forth. And when you're dealing with those two professionals, they could look at your specific situation and advise you on the best business structure. But I would say for most people, the LLC makes a lot of sense. If you don't have an attorney or a CPA, AB, you could head to our website, faithfi.com, click Find a CKA, and any of those certified Kingdom advisors could make a referral to you. But hopefully that helps you, sir, gives you a few things to think about. We appreciate your call today. Let's go up to Indiana and welcome David to the broadcast. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, so I have an opportunity. Our companies are changing management companies, which I could take my 401k and possibly roll it into the new management company's 401k. But I've been thinking about possibly taking that money out, rolling it over into something else like an IRA that I could manage, as opposed to keeping it in the company IRA or the company 401k, because I just feel like I'm not making the money from that account that I should. It's already invested 100% in stock. So I was just curious if I should like take that money, roll it over into like an E-Trade account, and then at the same time just start up again my work 401k as a separate account.
Yeah, you know, there's really no difference, David, in the two accounts, the IRA and the 401k, from a tax standpoint. They're both essentially identical. The big question for both of them is, what are you ultimately going to invest them in? Now, as soon as you get into that new 401k, if it's with a new plan administrator, you're likely going to have a whole new menu of investment options. And some may be great, maybe even better than what you've had. I think the question is, are you in the right investments that are appropriate for your age and risk tolerance? The benefit of the IRA is you have unlimited investment options there. But I think it's just going to come down to who's ultimately going to select those investments. What do you have roughly as a balance in this 401k we're talking about?
About 50K.
All right. And do you have a sense of, if you went into the IRA and you took the blinders off and you can invest in anything, where you'd go with it, what you'd put it in?
Well, obviously right now AI is pretty hot, so that's probably where I would focus on.
Yeah, the challenge is you're going to be really highly concentrated at that point, and if it turns over and we realize that it's way overvalued, then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to see some pretty significant declines. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back.
Over the last 20 years, more than a million Truth for Youth Bibles have been given to youth all over America. And this year, we want to add at least 60,000 to that total. It's available in English and Spanish, and every student between the ages of 13 and 18 can get one free if they promise to give it to a friend at school. Call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central, or visit tfy.org anytime. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at afr.net.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's head right back to the phones. We'll get to as many questions as we can here in this final segment. To Chattanooga. Hi, Bob. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I am calling to ask a question for my parents. My parents are around 85 years old. And have just recently, my dad has had a stroke years ago and is now, he's not mobile anymore. And so my parents are needing some in-home assistance. My brothers and sisters, we live out of town. And so they need some in-home help for my dad. And so what they've done is they have sold a duplex that they had increase their – they were doing fine on their income before this extra need. But this duplex was – they received it from my great-grandmother when she passed away. It was in her will, she gave it to my dad. So I have a two-part question, and that is – the home sold for about $215,000. And so I was wondering how they find out how much in taxes that they will owe on the sale of that property. I can't remember if I said they've had it about 30 years now. And then my mom was wondering, she's going to need to hold money out for these healthcare expenses and maybe hold a little bit more money out to have some repairs done to the home. And then she's wondering what to do with the leftover money as far as investing. And right now she's a retired teacher, so she's considering putting that money into CDs at her credit union.
Yeah. All right. And what were what was the proceeds of the home sale?
About $215,000.
Okay. Yeah. So the first question is what to set aside for any long-term capital gains. So the cost basis was stepped up to the date of death when he inherited the property, but you said that was 30 years ago, correct?
Right, right.
Okay. So you'll need to establish, and a realtor or broker could help you do this, but you'll need to establish the market value of the property as of the date he received it, your dad. And then you'll want to then compare that to the selling price, and that would determine the capital gain that was there. Now, the capital gain rate has to do with the their income. So if they're married filing jointly, is their income above or below $94,000 for 2024?
I do not know. I will have to check. Okay. So the capital gains tax is based on their income.
Right. So if it's below $94,050, if they sold this in 2024, capital gains rate is zero. If they've got income between $94,051 and $580,000, then it'd be at the 15% capital gains rate. And that would apply to the capital gain, which is the selling price minus that adjusted cost basis of the property as of the date he inherited it, the date of death. And then that portion would be subject to either that 0% or 15% capital gains rate. Now, once that is set aside, if there is tax due, and there may or may not be, then I think it's a matter of saying, okay, how do we think about this money? And I'd probably have several buckets. Bucket one is the costs of the in-home health care for the next 1 to 2 years. I'd probably keep that portion in a high-yield savings account. The good news is right now you can get 5% on that. You could go to bankrate.com and find an online bank that would offer an online savings account with FDIC insurance. And then in addition to that 1 to 2 years of in-home health care costs, I'd have an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months expenses in a separate account for unexpected kind of general living expenses if they don't already have that. And then beyond that, for the remaining portion, you probably want to have relatively short-term investments. So I like the idea of laddering CDs. You could look at some additional high-yield savings. You could even look at some treasury bills, anywhere from 4 weeks to a year and look at those options as well. You could even, depending on the time horizon of this, look at adding, a portion in stocks, but it'd probably be a very small portion, especially if you think all this money is going to be exhausted in the next 10 years or less. But does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much. And I just want to let you know, I really appreciate your show and the advice you give to people.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Because these different financial decisions can be tough. So.
Yeah. Bob, I want to make sure that you've got some good assistance. I know you're walking alongside your dad, and man, I appreciate just your heart and affirming what we're doing here, but also just in wanting to serve him. Do you all have somebody that you could lean on that could give some counsel and an advisor or somebody to help navigate all this?
We don't. Talking to my mom this weekend, she they do have a family friend that may be able to help them, and that was kind of the first place she was going to go is to to call and talk to them for advice. And I told her I would call your show.
Okay.
But no, not specifically.
Okay. Well, if you think a financial counselor would be helpful to help them get their budget in line, I'd be happy to offer that at no cost, just as our gift to you all. But if you think an advisor would be better, you could connect with a certified Kingdom advisor on our website at faithfi.com. But do you feel like they have some need in just trying to get their budget straight and making some of these more basic decisions? All right. Well, let's do this. I'd love to help with that. So that'll just kind of be our gift to you, Bob, and if you stay on the line, we'll get your information. We'll get one of our trained, certified Christian financial counselors in touch with you. And if your mom and dad are interested, then they can just schedule a virtual meeting to kind of go through all the numbers and maybe just provide some added peace of mind as they make these decisions. So, listen, appreciate your kind remarks about the program. I hope that'll be a blessing to you, sir. And may the Lord bless you. Call anytime if we can help you. Let's head to Florida. Hi, Diana. Go ahead.
Hi. I really appreciate your show and the knowledge that you pass on to people, and I just wanted to ask you a question.
Sure.
I'm selling my house in Florida, and I'm moving out of the state. I own my home outright, and the proceeds that I will make off of the home, I will be able to buy another home outright, but I wanted to see I'm going to have, you know, a surplus from that. So I was wondering, I want to be retired. I just recently quit my job or retired from my job, and I want to stay retired. Should I use that money to live off of, or should I go ahead and draw my Social Security invest that money?
Very good. That's helpful. So what will you have left over after you purchase this new home free and clear?
About $150,000.
Okay. And so that'll be a taxable account, meaning it's not in a retirement plan. And then do you have any other retirement assets, Diana?
I do. I have about $220,000 in a managed assets. And
All right. And then what will you be living off of in retirement?
As far as the amount?
No, just the what income sources will you have? Just Social Security, assuming you didn't start to draw from any of these. I just want to know what other income sources you have.
I don't. That's what I'm wondering, is if I should use the approximately $150,000 or go ahead and draw Social Security.
Yeah, it's a good question. And I just want to make sure whatever we do is sustainable for the long term, because if the Lord tarries, and if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. If he does and you're in good health, you know, we need this money to last a long time. What is your age, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 64 and a half.
Okay, very good. And you've already retired, or that's upcoming?
I did last December. I have been just, I did it to get the home ready. I do all the work myself, so I did it to get the home ready. And I've had a lot of interest on the home, and so now I've got a contract on it.
And what have you been living off of? Where have you been pulling your living expenses?
From savings.
Okay. And what do you have left in savings, not counting the $220,000?
About $10,000.
Okay. And have you looked at, if you were to take Social Security right away, do you know what that monthly benefit would be? It's going to be reduced from your full retirement age.
Right. About $1,500.
Okay. And what are your monthly expenses going to be? Have you done that budget for your kind of new situation with the smaller home and so forth?
I don't owe any money on anything. I've paid everything off. It's just my expenses as far as utilities and groceries.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think you're right. I think we are going to need to start drawing off of this. And I think unless you want to go back to work for a period of time, which it's always great to delay Social Security as long as you can, if you could get to full retirement age, I'd be thrilled with that, because then we're locking in this higher check for the rest of your life. In fact, if you could wait beyond full retirement age, you'd get that check up 8% every year. I understand you're saying you want to be fully retired, and so that's fine, but I just want to make sure you have enough so you're not, you know, regretting taking it early, you know, 5 or 10 years down the road if it's not enough. But I think the bottom line is you've got, you know, enough assets here, about $370,000 that you'll have, and that should generate about $1,200 a month, 4% a year. So if you can live off the reduced Social Security plus the $1,200 a month, you know, and make that work in your new home, then I think that's the key. I'd get connected with a certified Kingdom advisor when you get there, and you can do that at faithfi.com. Hope that helps. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.